blessed and wonderful Sunday morning to all listeners. Welcome to another Because He Lives program. We again give thanks to Federal Motor Spirits and the Church of the Nazarene Baptist District for their faithful sponsorship of the program. Today we say Happy Father's Day to all biological fathers and father figures out there. So rightfully we are focusing on our males today. And with so many significant changes taking place in our family, life, society, and our values, we explore the topic, the purpose and relevance of men in the current system of church and society. The purpose and relevance of men in the current system of church and society. And here to help me analyze this topic today is Reverend Anderson Kelman, the pastor of the Bank Hall Nazarene Church, and also a counselor, clinical psychologist. Welcome, sir. And Mr. Damani Reed, he is the NY Vice President. I know he's a council member and one of those wonderful young men that you'll find at the Column Rock Nazarene Church. Welcome, sir. Okay, so the question I want to start off with, given this really thought-provoking topic, do men or males still have that level of respect and honor as we had when we look back, say, 30, 40 years ago? Do we still have that sort of respect in society, say, no, as say when in the 70s and 80s? And if so, what would be the main reason for the decline in the lack of respect, as it were, among the males today? I will go, Reverend Kelman.
Well, let me say a very pleasant good morning to everyone and to wish all fathers a very special day. Trust that you will indeed be feted in the same way that on Mother's Day, our mothers were taken care of. Now, before I begin to share, I just want to let you know I'm not a clinical psychologist, at least not as yet. I'm a counselor by profession.
Sorry about that, Pastor.
That's okay. The question is one that is very appropriate, though, and I would say that a lot of our views of masculinity revolved around social realities, right, in terms of men being the chief breadwinners, in terms of men being able to, you know, to some degree command their families. And I think what's happened, though, is that our society has changed. And we now know that, you know, there are females who earn similar or more than their male counterparts. And therefore, the whole idea of bring home the bacon does no longer rest solely with the man. And therefore, you know, when we define masculinity, has, you know, had a pretty tough knock, so as to speak, because of the change of the society.
I think I agree with you there, where the men were at one point in time the sole breadwinners in the community.
Yes.
And there was a time when getting married, especially for the women, getting married was seen as a serious step in the social ladder for them.
That's right. That's right.
But as you said before, because of the shift in the society where now the women are becoming a lot more independent, we are looking in our universities and we're seeing 3/4 of them graduating with upper level degrees and so on. So we are no longer the chief cook and bottle washer as one thing. So I understand the change in roles. The money, I just want to ask, with a young man growing up through Sunday school, I guess all of us would have come through Sunday school to some degree.
Yeah.
What would you say would be the challenges that the church is facing or have faced over the years in terms of retaining a good set of our young men within the congregations of our assemblies across the board? What would you say is the problem?
So good morning. Let me likewise wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. I trust that your day would be enjoyable and that you would feel well honored today. Pertaining to your question, Darren, I think traditionally the church has managed really well the task of raising children through their very early years in Sunday school, then raising children through their teenage years. You know, we have many programs from VBS to our NYA sessions to many different children's programs and services. But then there seems to be a gray area coming on to the end of your teenage years, sometimes into your early 20s, so to speak, where there seems to be an expectation of young men, all right, now it's time for you to just flow into the older generation, flow into men's fellowship, flow into you know, young adults ministry. And I think sometimes it could be a little bit too early to let go of that more of an intimate connection, right? And I think for young people on a whole, likewise with young men, there are kind of two areas that help them to feel a little more connected or help them to stay into church. And that is where you feel that you're being served and where you feel that you're being of service. So I am more inclined to stay in a place where I feel like my needs are being met, where I feel like I'm being taught, where I feel like I'm being addressed. And I'm also more inclined to stay in a location where I feel like my voice is being heard. So I think when we start to fall short of those two things, and a focus on young men is when they start to think, well, maybe somebody else out in the world, you know, would pay me a little bit more attention. And then, you know, you're at the age now where your parents are not forcing you anymore. So then their desire to stay, I feel, becomes a little bit less.
Okay, Reverend Kelman, where can the church adapt to be able to cater to that, what, 18 to 33, 34, 35 age group? Because it seems to me that is at that point in time when things get very volatile. Obviously, the teenage years is a very volatile period. You're trying to find out who you are, adulthood, the whole nine yards, right? And you're making a lot of critical decisions that could impact your life going on. How can the church respond to this area?
Well, I think the question really is a question that seeks to suggest that the church has to react to a certain reality that the body will just share. I think really the church should be the repository of teaching men how to be men. Really, I think that the church should lead, because we have a very significant reality in terms of our belief system as it relates to our belief in Christ as being 100% God, 100% man, the whole duality of Christ. And to me, Christ lifts the whole idea of masculinity to the place where it ought to be. And therefore, I believe the church has a responsibility to rediscover first what are those traits that should make a man a man. And then we need to be able to share with those persons with the context of our congregation. And then we're focusing on men because it's Father's Day, but of course, you know, in terms of females, we may also need to understand what is the purpose and role of the male within their lives as well. So I want to suggest, though, Darren, that the church ought to be the place where we have the correct model for what it means to be a man. As a matter of fact, I want to suggest that there should be no discussion on gender for the church. The church becomes such a foremost reality in terms of the image of gender that any discussion in our social context should involve the church, because we have a model in terms of masculinity that sets apart from all others. Therefore, we have a role to teach and to inculcate those important elements within our congregation and our men in particular. And I want to go one step further, though, and I want to suggest that maybe a part of our own demise is that we have allowed the social realities to sort of influence our view of masculinity, that when those have begun to change, we have found ourselves in trouble. You know, okay. So as you said before, we are able now to handle their own, you know, financial lives. They have jobs that are comparable to men. You know, they're able to have the things that they need on their own steam.
That's right.
You know, marriage doesn't provide that sort of leverage or the social mobility or acknowledgement as before. And so what's happened on the base of church have found ourselves in a quite difficult position. I think what we need to do is rather than adapt or adjust, I think we need to start to understand what Christ's example of masculinity ought to be or is, and then begin to teach that to our people, you know, in a new and a fresh way.
I think that's a fantastic idea. You can't go wrong with God's word.
Yeah.
And as much as we want to attack it, God's word remains fundamental. It's a foundation. And anytime you tackle with a foundation, well, also, you know, you're looking for it to crumble. And yes, with the LGBT agenda, feminism being branded about, and so to speak, you touch on it a bit, Pastor. How can the church aid our men in helping our males to live out the proper God-given purpose And secondly, because of that, would mentoring be important? Mm-hmm. I can start with you, the money, and then it would go over to Reverend Kelman. How important would mentoring be in terms of making sure that with all the negative bombardment that we have as men, that we could be able to, you know, combat this?
Yeah. So
this scourge.
I like what Pastor was saying there just now about the church becoming the primary source of information for teaching young men how to be men, right? Because like Pastor said, we have the perfect example. And I was thinking recently, the best way to almost share that message, say we as a church, we learn or we identify the key underpinnings of what it means to be a man, the way that Christ led, then we come together and we say, all right, well, we need to find a way to instill this into our young men. And that might look a lot like you just suggested, mentorship. So in my personal experience, I've noticed that those one-on-one interactions with me and older men in the church, and even myself and those beneath me, seem to go that much further than just perhaps large group sessions of sharing content and information. There's a gentleman at my church, Martin Grimes, I'll call his name, and Martin teaches people how to drive. Right. Mm-hmm. Now you may say teaching somebody how to drive is a nice skill or what's not.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
He has managed to use this skill of teaching you how to drive as a tool to evangelize and witness to everybody who gets into his car. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's just one example. So if we as a church are teaching young men about masculinity, we're saying, okay, I'm going to teach you about what it means to provide for a family. I'm going to teach you about what it means to act like a man, or to move like a man, things that you need to learn to do, the practical things. And then I'm going to use all of this as a platform to share the gospel with you. I'm going to use all of this as a platform to encourage you about not only fulfilling the society's responsibilities of what it says a man should do, but I'm also going to use it as an opportunity to show you this is how Christ was a man with respect to his spirituality, and this is how you are supposed to be a man.
Okay, mm-hmm. Reverend Kelman?
But I mean, I don't want to separate them out though, because I think that our spirituality should have an impact on how we engage socially. I spoke about the whole issue of Christology and the duality of Christ, being fully God and fully man.
Correct.
But also, I think we need to talk about the whole incarnational reality, because as far as I'm concerned, even though the content of the whole incarnation was that of spirituality, I think that there are clear social imperatives that are involved in that whole, you know, discussion, that whole discourse. And so I would want to think that discipleship, you know, should be that which establishes one in the faith. But we cannot separate that from how persons are able to understand their own gender, their own roles, their own purpose, the expectations that God's word has for them in terms of not just their spiritual growth, but their social interaction, how they father their children, how they take care of their wives and their girlfriends. So I think to me, it ought to be a whole package and ought to be intentional as well. You know, I think the church has in some ways, you know, I don't want to say failed because that's not the word I want to use, but we've not maximized all the resources that we've had. And so we have this kind of segregationist policy where things are sacred or secular, you know, and of course there's something that clearly are. But I think for the most part, you know, how we respond spiritually, how we grow spiritually, must have implications for how we behave within a social context. And so having said that, to answer your original question about mentorship, I believe that mentorship becomes an imperative, as Damani said. And so as we mentor others, as we are mentored by others, because it's a two-way process,
that's right,
that there should be that intentionality as it relates to things like family life in terms of how we define ourselves in terms of gender. Those are all issues that need to be conceptualized in the context of discipleship.
And like you too, Damani, I'm sure Rev could speak of this. I remember Pastor Combach teaching me how to drive. You know, there were a couple of people that held on to me as well. I remember the late Sylvan Greenwich trying to pick up where my talent may lie. He wanted me to dance and mime and that sort of stuff. but there was someone that paid an interest in your development at some point.
Yeah.
Whereas there seemed to be a lot of neglect among our males. And because of that, the females also felt that neglect and was seeking to fill that place, fill that void. And it could be to the detriment of our society, where we are trying to get back there, but there's a deficit on our part. Where's the example? We got to try to navigate a dark space, but at the same time, the women seem to be so all-conquering, even although they are needy too, because they need a father figure to affirm them. But at the same time, because of that void, that lack of mentorship, that means that, you know, our society, so to speak, lacked or is suffering as a result, right? So my final question is the passing on of the gospel and godly standards, right? The man you mentioned about Grimes, you know, Rev, anyone else you can remember?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I grew up in Shopville, and there were several young men that paid an interest in my development from the time I became part of the church. You know, the thing about it is that they would not have necessarily called it active discipleship, but that's what it was. You know, and I think about, you know, and I don't call them person names without permission, but I don't think they were mine. I think of persons like, you know, Anthony and Tyrone. I think about persons like Andrew, you know, Trevor, you know, those are the kind of fellows who would take us out on a regular basis. You know, they'll put their pockets and pay for us in terms of concerts to go to, you know.
Wow.
And back then there was Barber's Pizza House. You go there, you know, pretty often. And these guys would make sure that we were well fed and we were well taught as well. You know, they took an active interest. As a matter of fact, I mean, in several instances, Trevor in particular would go to my house at the end of the term and ask him about to see the report. You know, because as far as he was concerned, you know, education was important. And so it was not just church. It was one's rounded development. And I think that's what we need more in terms of the church. Men who would take that kind of interest in the younger ones, the younger men, the boys, and try their best to foster that kind of relationship. I think everything rises or falls on relationship. It can't be forced. You know, you can't just do it one time and say, okay, well, it didn't work out. There has to be that continuity, that sense of process whereby we are very intentional in a constant basis of forming those kinds of relationships. So I would say that there were many persons who would have contributed to my upbringing and my shaping as a male. I only showed a few, but there are many more. I may remember, you know, I used to do some karate when I was much younger. I mean, it's a show now, right? but I remember when people take me there, and he would always talk to me with life about different things that you could expect. So, and it became very natural because there was a relationship. Yes.
Okay. Well, I tell you, these are some really awesome points here being shared. And the time is getting out of hand for us. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is just part one of the topic, the relevance of the male within the 21st century context in society and the church. And I want to thank again Reverend Anderson Kelman, counselor, and Damani, vice president and NYA at the Colomerat Church of the Nazarene, for sharing with us the wonderful reason why Jesus Christ is still the answer for the world today. And above him, there's no other, for he's the way, the truth, and the life. And if we want to really find out life's true purpose for us to maximize, it is through God's word, it is through knowing him personally that can help us and shape us. So on behalf of the Church of the Nazarene and the faithful sponsors of Federal Motor Spares, we thank you very much for another wonderful session, and I pray God's blessings on you.
You know, what this dying world could use is a willing man of God, dares to go against the grain and work without applause.
A man who raised the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure.
God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away.
He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few.
Full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men.
Calls the broken derelict whose life has been renewed. He calls the one who has the strength to stand up for the truth.
Enlistment lines are open and he wants you to come in. He just needs a few good men. Afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom
and honor,
and an honor once again. And he just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid.
A few good men.
He just needs a few good men.